Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast to inspire you to take your career to the next level. In this podcast, I chat with amazing professionals who are leaders in their field and find out what's made them a success. Many of them have successfully made changes in their careers. They may have changed industry, changed job function, made big city or country moves, or taken the huge leap into entrepreneurship. I also share practical and actionable career tips for those who want to explore what to do next in their career and aren't sure about what steps to take to get moving. Subscribe to this podcast for regular updates or visit me at janejacksoncoach.com.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas introducing Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that will inspire you to take control of your career and your life. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, career management coach and author of Navigating Career Crossroads. Be prepared to ignite.
Well, hello and welcome to my careers podcast, where I interview inspiring professionals who have made fascinating career changes. Today, I'm very lucky to be speaking to Sharon Swift, the author of So You're Moving to Australia. An entrepreneur and seasoned expat, Sharon has been on the move since birth. She's lived across five continents and has experienced life and cultures of 14 countries over her lifetime so far. Sharon's move to Sydney in 2005 was her 18th international relocation. Sharon has spent her 14 years in the corporate life working for multinational organizations, including Siemens in the USA, Abbott Laboratories in Germany, Nielsen in the UK, and WPP's Kantar, Australia. Passionate about helping busy professionals, Sharon established her concierge business in 2011. Sharon is the founder of the Expat Concierge, which helps expats with all aspects of their move from the UK to Australia. She works on an intimate basis with executives relocating to Australia and helps many more via an online relocation tool, Settle2. As a veteran expat, Sharon has become a leading commentator for expats and wannabe expats too. She's an official Huffington Post blogger and contributor to the CEO magazine, Human Resources Director magazine, and HR Monthly. Sharon has also been featured in Business Insider and many Australia and New Zealand magazines. She lives in Sydney with her husband Ian and a lovely chocolate Labrador, Dylan. So I'm delighted to have Sharon on the show today, and welcome, Sharon. Sharon.
Hello, Jane. How are you?
I'm very well, and I'm very excited to find out all about you, world traveller. 18 international moves. That's incredible, isn't it?
It is. And I think it was in my destiny from an early age, for sure. And I didn't really know anything different. I'm really beginning to embrace that and, realise my value and just putting it out there for the world and hopefully help as many people with their expat aspirations.
And hopefully during our interview today, we'll find out more about all the cross-cultural differences that you've noticed during your travels. But before we talk about that, I'd like to find out about you in your early days, because obviously I want to find out about your career path and the entire journey of how you were led into entrepreneurship, because you've had a fascinating journey. So tell me, when you were a little girl or when you were in your early teens, what career did you dream about?
Well, when I was born in Singapore to an expat British father and a Singaporean mum, I grew up all over the world and had a very much a corporate sort of a viewpoint of a career. So my father was a lifer, as you would say, and worked for a company for 30 years of his life until he retired. So I had a very traditional viewpoint of careers and thought that my destiny would be, you know, in the corporate world, similar to my father. So overall, I'd say I had a conservative view of my future career due to my, you know, my upbringing and my schooling. I went a very traditional path of GCSEs, A-levels, and then university. And to be honest, I had a bit of a tiger mother, I think. With my mother being Chinese, I think there was a touch of tiger mother about her, although she'd never admit that. So, you know, a profession such as the legal profession, for example, the medical professions were definitely on her radar for me. But for me, it was just more about, you know, growing up with a strong sense of needing a very secure job to have a decent lifestyle. You know, my parents saw that pre-generation X and baby boomer type of generation where, you know, you have to be a hard grafter to earn a decent living and, you know, the rewards will come. So I didn't have any particular aspirations, but I just hoped that a generic business degree would be nothing if not practical and a good foundation, as the reality was I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah, it actually was so many people when they go through high school and then they go to college and they take their degree really without knowing where it's going to lead them. And yeah. So I guess with a business degree, it was broad based enough that you think, OK, once I graduate, I'll figure it out then. Is that what happened to you?
That is exactly what happened to me. And, you know, very, you know, my mother did try and push me into something, a tighter qualification, shall we say. So the law, you know, the engineering and those sorts of professions were really big on her radar. I was definitely influenced by that. But, you know, I didn't give in to that pressure. And I just thought, you know, I'm not a straight A student. I was definitely, you know, very average. I was good at everything, but didn't really seem to excel at anything in particular. So I just thought a business degree would just be very practical. And I just followed that path and I don't regret it to this day. So.
And so what happened once you graduated? What was your very first job?
So my first job was actually before I graduated. As a part of my degree, we had to spend a year in industry. So our third year was out in industry and I chose to go to Germany. Not having spoken a word of German at the time, that was a bit of a challenge, especially as I'd chosen to speak or to learn French and Spanish and ended up going to Germany.
Sharon, yeah. You sound very contrary. Let's just throw you in the deep end. So how did it go in Germany?
It was so I worked for a very large pharmaceutical company based in the US called Abbott Laboratories. And I spent that year discovering that I really did not want to work in finance. I was helping to manage, you know, a lot of their inventory and work with numbers. And I really discovered that that was not for me. Once I'd returned to university and completed my final year, I got the opportunity to travel once again. I think the nomadic, I have a bit of nomadic blood in me. I ended up going to the East Coast of the USA and ended up working for Siemens in a consulting, business process consulting role. I really enjoyed that, but what I really loved at that particular role was a secondment that I got to the Siemens research facility down in Princeton, where the university is based. And I actually just got down and dirty with a lot of product research and innovations. And that's when I really discovered that I loved, you know, just pulling things apart and, you know, researching and just getting lost in, you know, a sea of information out there. So those are my first sort of two jobs in and around my degree.
And then how did you end up going into the entrepreneurial route? Did you take a few more steps first?
Yeah, so I ended up working in Nielsen in the UK, which was definitely within the research industry. So I sort of stayed along that same vein. I spent 5 years in London working for them in a client service role, a further 5 years working for Kantar Research when I was in Australia. And it was really my move to Australia that made me realize that entrepreneurship is really something that could be on my horizon. I definitely didn't get that sense when I was living in the UK. I felt like a very small fish in a very large pond. But the lifestyle in Australia and the, you know, the real you know, give it a good go mentality. And I suppose the size of the economy here just felt that entrepreneurship and running a small business was definitely possible. So I started that once I got made redundant. Unfortunately, I was pushed off the cliff. It wasn't a decision that I made. But, you know, after a year of, you know, soul searching and deciding what I wanted to do, I decided that that was definitely the path I wanted to go down.
You know, before we go further into the entrepreneurial route, I'm really interested in all this moving around that you've done, because you talk about going to Germany and then back to the UK. You grew up in Singapore and then you went to America. Those are very big changes for most people, but it sounds like you were able to make that shift from one culture and one country to another quite easily. What's the key to that?
Well, part of it, I guess, is just in my upbringing, in my immediate family. You know, I grew up with a British father and a Singaporean Chinese mother. So I suppose from day one, I had exposure to two very different cultures. And obviously, you know, the associated families with, you know, the family visits back to Singapore and so on. But it really was my upbringing. And as I say, I didn't really feel like it was anything special. For me, it was my normal to be on the move every, you know, 3, 6 to 12 months. You know, I was just on the move and I just had to be very adaptable and have a very strong exterior from a very young age. So when we ended up relocating back to the UK as a teenager for my brother and I to continue our schooling, you know, in a more stable, you know, in a more stable environment, it just wasn't really exciting for me. I suppose I was just new. I just knew that, you know, that change was going to be something that I wanted for my life. I really didn't feel necessarily at home in the UK, possibly because it was an association with, you know, a legacy of my father or my mother. And I suppose I just wanted to have the freedom and independence of choosing my own path. So the move to Germany, the move to the US, back to London and eventually to Australia was really my, I suppose, my way of finding something for myself. And I wasn't going to stay still until I really found my home. And I really found, you know, feel like I found that in Australia.
You know, it's such an interesting story. We have a lot of parallels with my life and your life as well, because my father's English and my mother's Hong Kong Chinese. And growing up as an expat as well, we have this third culture kid syndrome, where nowhere is really home, but everywhere is home. And you end up being, you know, very, very adaptable. I haven't had 18 international relocations. I've only had 5 from Hong Kong to San Francisco, London, Singapore, and then Sydney. And I thought that was a lot, but you've had so many more. But I think that the more you actually travel and live and experience different cultures, it makes you very adaptable and also quite resilient to change as well, which must have helped you when you went through that redundancy and were thinking about what am I going to do next with my life?
Yes, definitely. The adaptability is absolutely key. And I think, you know, as I say, when you don't know anything different, you you do adapt and you build that strong exterior and, you know, you just sort of, and I suppose that's the British stiff upper lip, where you just sort of get on with it. And, you know, that resilience, I guess, is from my mother's side as well. So I can't, you know, ever take away from what I have genetically and what I grew up with, but definitely my my own actions and my own moves have helped to build that as well.
And so during that redundancy, when you were reassessing and you decided on a business for yourself so that you could take control of your career, what was the business that came to mind?
So in my previous role, I felt very pigeonholed and very, you know, focused on one very tight area of the business. And I think what I was craving was variety. And I really wanted to add more strings to my bow. I really wanted to become, you know, more aware of the possibilities of, you know, and the potential that I had as a person. So I immediately thought of the concierge business. I just thought, I love helping people. I love researching and I love, you know, trying out new things. And I don't necessarily want to do everything for my clients, but I really want to be that go-to person for their lifestyle. So I started to scope this out and really researched a lot. And it was really big overseas. And it had only really started to take off in Australia, the whole outsourcing ethos and, you know, helping people with the concept of outsourcing time-consuming tasks. And I just thought, you know, that really appeals to me because it taps into that variety that I wanted. But the running of the business would help me to develop other skills and, you know, really tap into whether entrepreneurship and running a small business was the dream that I felt it could be.
And so how did you grow the business?
I struggled, to be perfectly honest, for a couple of years. I struggled with a lot of self-discovery and a lot of family circumstances as well. I had, you know, a death in the family, which didn't help. So I really struggled, to be honest, but then encountered a business course and the promise of, you know, really honing my business skills and really understanding the actual steps that I have to go through. I suppose, for want of a better word, it was formal training and the promise of, you know, helping or getting someone to help me with the skills that I needed to build my business, which really accelerated that that course and actually helped me to pivot a little bit and niche much, much deeper and further into, you know, something that I do now, which is 100% the relocations concierge side of things.
Well, that's interesting with this pivot concept. So you're heading down one way and then you've made a big change. What was it that was your aha moment that made you do this massive pivot?
Well, I think I'd steered clear of, you know, what I guess was obvious to so many people, which was the relocation side of things and really tapping into my experience as an expat growing up. As a part of my concierge service, I actually handled a great number of relocations and helping, you know, new clients and new expats settle into their new life in Sydney. And I just felt such a great sense of reward and I got such amazing feedback from those clients. They just loved what I did. And, you know, they had a sense of me going above and beyond. But for me, that actually came very naturally to me. So I just felt like I'd found my mojo when I was doing those relocations and, you know, the sense of achievement when, you know, the kids were in school and they were getting into their daily routine and felt at home in foreign land was really rewarding to me. And I really felt that, you know, all of my experience, you know, led me to that that strength and now my business.
I think when someone's moving country, and especially if you've got maybe a trailing spouse and children as well, it can be so daunting when you're going into a completely new culture. You don't know your way around. Little things like, where do I find a good dentist or a doctor or a hairdresser? It's nice to have someone like you to say, look, I've done this before. Here's where you can go. Here's how I can help you to settle in to your new life. And in fact, you've got on your website an online relocation tool called Settle2. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
So Settle2 is really a one-stop shop for people that perhaps have a lower budget or prefer to do the research and manage the move themselves. So they can really access the tool and manage, plan, research, and monitor their progress of their relocation online. So everything from interactive checklists and budgets and a vast amount of information and directories and all of the information that you need is really contained in this self-navigating relocation tool. The name Settle2 actually comes from my six-step process, which I wrote about in my book. So the Settle acronym is really, you know, about settling into your new life and the six steps that you have to go through to actually achieve a sense of home in your new destination, which in this case is Australia.
That sounds fascinating. Talk us through the acronym Settle.
So settle too. So settle is really about step one, the S, which is sizing up. So sizing up, assessing whether the move is right for you, and all of the things that you need to consider before you embark on such a large move. The E is really about the is embark, and that's all of the essentials to prepare stress-free for your departure of wherever you're from. And in terms of the book, it's specifically the UK. The two T's are take up residence and tackle the necessities. So that's really the steps you need to go through to actually set up your home, establish a routine, and get all of the niggly registrations and admin sorted. So it's really about how things work here in Australia. The L is learn the ropes, which is the guide to settling in and adjusting to Australian life and the culture and how things work on a social and environmental basis. And my last E, which I think is so crucial, it's really about exploring and discovering your new environment. So getting out and about and making life, getting the most out of your new life in Australia. So your weekend trips, where to travel to, activities for the kids, where to go shopping, and so on. So it really is, the full gambit, from A to Z of relocating from where you start off in your host country to where you are when you're in Australia, the destination country.
Oh, that's fantastic. I could have used you when I was moving from London to Singapore if you were doing the Singapore settle. That was for sure, because I know back in 1986 when I moved from London to Singapore, it was so very, very different. And I had nobody to help me. And I had a young baby, Jess, my older daughter Jess was only 11 months old at the time. And it was really, really daunting for me to think, oh my goodness, I've got a baby, my husband's at work all day, he's traveling 30% of the time, I've got to settle in and learn the ropes completely. Having something like this settle tool would have really, really helped me for sure. And so your book, So You're Moving to Australia, that came about because obviously you want to help people with it. How's the book going now, and where can people find it? Because I think it's a valuable resource.
The book's doing really, really well, Jane. I actually launched it in conjunction with ANZ Bank in the UK. We were aligned very similarly in our values in terms of wanting to help people, in ANZ's case, to financially relocate, and for myself to help people relocate their lifestyle. So it was launched officially in the UK, and it's done really, really well. It's actually number one on Amazon, which is, or it hit number one on Amazon, which is fantastic.
Oh, congratulations.
So it's available on Amazon, but it's also available along with a few free tidbits from the website soyouremovingto.com. So people can buy it there, find out a little bit more about the book and about me there, and of course, download some tools and so on to get started.
And so now, if people wanted to have a chat with you or to work with you, you've got a few websites here. There's soyouremovingto.com, then there's settle2.com, and there is the expat, www.theexpatconcierge.com.
Yes, that's right.
So they can reach you at all of those locations.
Absolutely, and they all lead to the same place, which is me. And I'm more than happy to chat to anyone who who needs help in discovering whether moving is for them, whether expat life is for them, or whether indeed moving to Australia is something that could be on their horizon.
I love this book, So You're Moving to Australia. Are there more books coming up?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I've got a few more books in me. I'd love to write more books about other countries and relocating and sort of having those guidebooks for other countries. But I'm really passionate about helping businesses and corporates relocate their staff from overseas to Australia. So I'm thinking, whilst I might have some more books for the actual person or expat relocating, I'm also thinking I can help businesses as well, upskill their staff and their mobility teams in terms of what's important and what considerations to make when moving their staff and their families over.
It sounds like you've had such a great career and there's so much more to come from growing up in Singapore with your tiger mother. I really like that term. Actually, I have to say it's really funny. One of my clients also, you know, had tiger parents, actually, because I remember when she came to me, she was a finance manager, but a very angry finance manager. But when we were talking and coaching, she said that she had two brothers and herself and her tiger mother wanted a doctor, a lawyer, and a financier in the family. And so since the doctor and the lawyer was taken by the boys, she had no choice but to get into finance. And it wasn't her thing at all. 15 years. And then when there was a redundancy for her, it was like, finally, I'm free. And she went into entrepreneurship, very much like you. So there you go. There's also something else. I would like to have you on the show again, Sharon, and talk about third culture kids. Because I think that's a really interesting topic. And for anyone who's listening in who has, you know, grown up as an expat brat as such, it's such an interesting conversation to have as well. So would you be interested in having a chat about that one day?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, the legacy of your childhood really, really can shape your career. And I think if you speak to a lot of third culture kids out there, a lot of my friends, for example, that I grew up with, their careers have taken very interesting and non-conventional paths as a result of their upbringing. Absolutely. I'd be delighted to have a chat to you about that.
Yeah. This idea is just bubbling along in me right now. So anyone listening in, if you happen to be a third culture kid and you've made multiple changes in your location where you've lived, email me at jane@janejacksoncoach.com, because I'd love to get everybody's opinion, plus Sharon's, because I don't think anyone could possibly have made more international moves than Sharon. She's the expert here. So if anyone wants to find out more about Sharon, find her at soyouremovingto.com, and there's also settle2.com and theexpatconcierge.com. Her book is called So You're Moving to Australia. And it's just been wonderful having a chat with you today, Sharon. Thank you so much for your insights. And I'll certainly be looking out for your book everywhere on Amazon, since it's a number one bestseller.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, Sharon.
Bye.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.